It's an awesome thing to have your word and to have a desire to study it. And we thank you for giving that to us. And Lord, thank you for the arsenal that we have in it. Guide us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. The sheets are right there on that thing there, Dennis. Spiritual warfare is a popular subject among Christians and has been for years. And you know, I was that way. I remember being, when I was young, you know, man, that just appealed to me, to be able to go out and fight the devil and do all of that and whoop him and I don't know what we're doing here. It really appealed to me as a young person. It almost seemed glamorous. But I've learned over the year that real warfare is never glamorous. And real warfare, people get hurt. In real warfare, people get wounded. In every way, we understand that as we see our men and women come back from the war, and you know, and we see them without a leg or an arm, or we see them hurt emotionally and all of that, and we see that happening. We understand that. But we don't really, I think, apply that over to the spiritual realm. The fact is that, and you can write this down as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you are involved in warfare. And there really are two opposing kingdoms at war with each other. Just as much as there are two, you go over to Afghanistan and you see there are two, and over there probably more than two sides at war with each other. And as a result, because of that, there really are casualties. And the fact is that the people who are ignorant that there is a war going on are usually some of the first casualties. And we see that in the modern church, I think, because we see so many families and so many individuals and so many Christians who get hurt spiritually and emotionally and in almost every other way because so many people, preachers, are not teaching about that. They're not teaching about spiritual warfare. If they may go through this armor of God thing, but what I'm trying to say is if you don't know you're at war, you're just a sitting duck. You know, you're just ready to get shot down by Satan. So it's important that we understand that and that we teach that. And I think we need to teach it to our kids. Thankfully, the Bible tells us about the war and the weapons we have as Christians, and the Bible gives six dimensions to our armor, and that is the fact that Jesus is our truth, Jesus is our righteousness, our peace, the object of our faith, the source of our salvation, and He's the living Word of God. And when we put Jesus on, and we do put Him on, and Romans 13:14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." We make a conscious effort, just like we get up every morning. I was reading about one of the old coaches in Arkansas from back in the 30s, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he was known as out of all the coaches who have ever coached, he was the master of the trick play. The master of razzle-dazzle. And, of course, I can't remember his name, so it wasn't anybody would know it anyway. But it's an interesting thing that he, you know, he was that way. But one of his famous quotes, Arkansas was getting ready to play Michigan, and Michigan was ranked number one. Arkansas wasn't ranked, and they were getting ready to go up and play Michigan. And this was back in the 30s and 40s, so this was a big deal. You know, getting out of Arkansas was a big deal then. And he said, we've all heard it, he said, Michigan players put their britches on one leg at a time, you know. And the thing I'm trying to say is, we must make a conscious decision to put our armor on, to put on Jesus. It's not just going to get put on. And in Galatians 3:27, it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ." And we are protected by the only person that Satan has never defeated, Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's read about this armor again in verse chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12, beginning at verse 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore," here it is, "having girded up your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you should be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Here, the armor of a Roman soldier is used to model how we can stand strong in the battle. And I've used various ways of explaining this in the past. And I've used the medieval armor, and I've used different kinds of armor. But I honestly believe that Paul, being a Roman citizen, is talking about a Roman soldier's outfit, kit. So we're going to talk about that. The first thing in verse 14 he mentions is having girded your loins with the truth. This is called the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Now understand this. The belt of a Roman soldier was the foundation of his armor. You know, of course, you had a shield and a sword and all of that. And my phone's sitting here doing this. Hang on. It's about my refrigerator. The belt of the soldier held everything together. It held on the breastplate. It held on, you know, so many different things. Well, it held up his breeches. A soldier can't fight well without any breeches, right? The belt is very, very important. It held the sword. It held the breastplate up. And now understand this. Satan is the father of all lies. Jesus said that in John 8:44. The devil's the father of all lies. He cannot stand against the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Jesus said it, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Understand this. I understand that this word is the truth. But at this particular point in the armor, he's not talking about the Word of God. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the way and the truth. He is the truth. Now, if you don't have that down, if you don't have the fact that Jesus is the Son of God who came and died on the cross for our sins, and you haven't come to the point of belief in Him and salvation, this doesn't mean much. Because unless you have Him in your life, unless you have the Holy Spirit in your life to help you read the Word, you're not going to get much out of it. But once you, that's the first step, Jesus, the truth. Everyone else, everything else in the world's a lie. Everything else in the world is a lie. You go watch television, everything you see on television's a lie that's designed to get you away from Jesus Christ. The first step to truth, the only step to truth, is Jesus Christ. And so you must have that foundation, Jesus Christ, the belt that holds everything else together, holds it all together. If you do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ, now you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be led astray. I have. I mean, how many of you haven't done? I mean, we've all done that. We, even as Christians, we can still swallow some lie of the devil, hook, line, and sinker. But if we have that foundation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. We are still have Him. And eventually we will come back to the truth. And we'll talk about the Word. Some people, you know, get that kind of, you know, they focus in on the Word so much here. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have the belt of truth in Him, the way, the truth, and the life, you know, victory in spiritual warfare always starts with the truth. Write that down. It always starts with the truth. Now, again, yeah, you know, the only way we know that Jesus is the truth is the Word, right? But understand that's what this is referring to, the truth there. And then we see the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14, stand therefore, firm therefore, girded up your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is this part that went over your heart. And it was the source, the heart is the source of a soldier's life. We understand from reading other places in the Word that the heart in that time and in Paul's way of looking at things and everything, and we know physically the heart is not necessarily the center of everything. The brain is, but in that day, the heart was at the center of your being, and they had an understanding that if the heart didn't work, nothing else did. And so the heart was the source of that soldier's life. Righteousness protects the spiritual life of the Christian. Now understand this, we're not talking about our righteousness. We're talking about Jesus' righteousness. Over in Philippians 3:9 it says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we are not trying to have our own some kind of works mentality righteousness here. This breastplate of righteousness is part of the armor provided by God Himself. He gives us any righteousness we have. And we kind of get off and getting pretty proud of ourselves. And every time I get to think about how great I am and how right I am and how wonderful I am, I'm in trouble. It's not me, it's Jesus Christ and His righteousness that saved me. It was not my righteousness that saved me, it was Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And we have also, in verse 15, the feet that are protected by the gospel of peace. Look at that. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the Roman army was a victorious army. They conquered pretty much all of the known world. because they did something that many, Alexander the Great did, but after he died, they did, the Greeks didn't do it anymore. But they did something that no other army that they faced did. And that's our army that we have here in the United States is the same way. We do something that very few armies that we will fight, say, particularly over in the Middle East, does. They outfitted their soldiers with the same type of equipment. Okay? That makes a difference. If you're fighting nowadays and you're an American soldier and all of a sudden something happens to your weapon, you can grab your buddy's weapon that may have been hurt and used it, and you don't even know the difference. See, you understand what I'm saying. These shoes that the Roman soldiers used were kind of an innovation for that time. They were these thicker armored sandals, and it did two things. One is it gave them traction. Now, you understand, for the most part, a Roman soldier would line up, and they would have these big shields, and they had these big spear-looking things that would maybe go from here back to about where you are, Brad. That's pretty strong. That's a pretty long pole. And then they would march forward, and the other army was marching forward, and then try to stab each other with those poles, those spears, pikes. And they come toward each other, and there were several things they would do to try to trick the enemy army. One of them was to go for the feet. Because if you get your feet out from under you, you're going to go down, right? And so the Romans defeated that two ways. One is that most of the other armies were barefooted. How many of y'all remember going barefooted in the summer? You know, your old feet by the end of the summer were pretty tough. Mine were. I remember I never wore shoes in the summer, you know. But those other army men, they never wore shoes. Very few people wore shoes, and they just had these old hard feet. But the Romans beat them because those sandals they had were harder than the toughest feet. And they would get traction. And if you're trying to go and push an army out of the way and you got traction, you're going to win. And so that's what these sandals did for them. It was a pretty innovative big thing, and so it was security for them. Basically, they knew none of the other armies had this that they had. If they did, some of them may have some shoes, but they weren't all uniform like the Romans were, and it gave them traction and its security in the heat of the battle. And that's what our peace with God through Jesus does. Now, here's what Satan does. Satan accuses us. You ever been accused by Satan? You know, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe somebody that is of this world, they accuse you. Satan accuses you. But when we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, His accusations are useless. When we have the gospel, and we have believed the gospel, and we have accepted Jesus, and we know that He is our Lord and He is our Savior, then we have peace in that, and all the false accusations in the world can't knock down that peace. It's an important thing. It's a very important thing, because He will always try to defeat us with His accusations. And all of us have been accused, I know. And of course, then we have in verse 16, the shield of faith. Addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. These soldiers had these shields, and there were different size ones. The soldier that had the long spears like that, they had big old shields that were probably about this tall. And that was that they could, so they could, you know, ward off those big spears. And they would stand beside each other and make a shield wall with those shields. And you just couldn't hardly get through them. And not only that, there were men behind them that also had shields. And if they felt like you were kind of going down a little bit, they would put their shield up against you and hold you up. Even if you got wounded, you know, they would drag you by the legs to the back and they would just step up and take your place. And they fought well together. They took over they conquered the whole world. Now, other shields were not like that. But even those shields, they had what these leather, some of them, many of them originally, particularly during Paul's time, later on they began to make them out of metal. But the original shields were made out of wood and were covered with leather. And when they were coming up to fight against an enemy that had arrows, believe it or not, they used the Indians here in America were not the first one to use those flaming arrows. you read about it here, didn't we, Chico? Flaming arrows. And people would shoot those flaming arrows. Well, they would wet that leather down. And you know what would happen. They'd shoot those arrows up over them and they'd just hold the shield up, or the guy behind them would hold the shield up and the arrows would get stuck in that leather, wet leather, and they're out. You know, that was an amazing thing. And faith in God's promises deflects and extinguishes the lies of Satan. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Oh, faith can overcome anything. Anything the devil throws at us. Having faith in God and in His Word. And then we have the helmet of salvation, verse 17. Take up the helmet of salvation. Now, the armored helmet that these guys wore protected the soldier's brain. You know, and that's important. You know, they knew that. They knew about brains, and they knew if you got whopped upside the head, good, they were going to be in trouble. The primary battlefield, I believe, and I think it's true, it's from the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden to today, the primary battlefield in spiritual warfare is up here. It's right up here. It's in your head. Satan wants to get in your head, doesn't he? He wants to get in there and mess you up. You know, assurance of salvation defeats the doubts that Satan uses to attack us. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so he says here, this helmet of salvation, we must understand the thing that protects our brains the most is the assurance of salvation. We must know that we are saved. It doesn't matter what we feel like. Oh, the older I get, you know, the more I don't feel like I used to feel, you know. I get up in the morning and I don't feel like getting up sometimes. I don't feel good. I get discouraged. I've learned, don't go by those feelings. You don't go by feelings. You go by what you know. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I know that when I was 9 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart. And I didn't really know a lot about what I was doing, Linda, but I know I meant what I prayed. And ever since then, I have grown consistently. Now, we're not talking about, you know, just all the time what happened. Is it a mouse? Oh, the ball. Get the ball. There you go. I was wondering what he wanted. I thought he was going to come up here to me. But, you know. Anyway, the point is, you know, guys, it's very important. You know, I can't emphasize this enough. Security of the believer is so important. You know, some people say, well, it doesn't really matter, love. It doesn't really matter if you believe once saved, always saved. Yes, it does matter. Because if you don't believe that, every time you turn around, you're feeling like you're lost again. And you're under attack and you're just, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that I doubt my salvation. I just do. But then I go back to the Word. And I understand that it's true, and I just say, you know, I don't feel like it sometimes, and I don't act like it sometimes, but I know it's true. And that's an important thing. And we end up with the sword of the Spirit in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Like we talked about last week, you know, it's the only offensive weapon we have. And like I told you last week, the Bible is so important because it's our armory. It's our armory. We can look in there and find the specific weapon we need for anything we have need of. Jesus Christ, when he was fighting against Satan on the mount, when he was being tempted, he didn't just throw the whole Bible at him, did he? He quoted verse. And then Satan would come up with something else, and Jesus would quote another verse. And then Satan would come up with something else, and Jesus would quote another verse. And that's why I think the most important thing we do with our young people is Bible drill. Because they need to know the Word of God, and they need to be memorizing it, and they need to be familiar with how to find things in it. That's an important thing. And it's important for all of us. For the Christian, the sword is the Word of God. Now, one of the most interesting things, facts, that is that we are involved in a battle of a war that has already been won. That's an interesting thing. Why fight it? I've had people say that. Well, if he's already won it, and he did, why are we bothering to fight it? Why do we keep fighting? Why not? It's a, you know, and it has been won. And we don't teach a lot of history much anymore, but it's an interesting lesson from U.S. history that I just want to close out this thing with to illustrate this. In 1812, I saw this over at Harvest Festival. There's a monument there about the people going down to fight in the Battle of New Orleans. There was a famous battle fought in New Orleans between British and American forces. But the interesting thing was when this victory, it was a great victory for American troops, but when it was won, the war was over. The war was over. The war was over. They had already made the peace months ahead of time, but they didn't know it. The British didn't know it. The Americans didn't know it. So the British troops proceeded to invade. And General Andrew Jackson, and it probably to Andrew Jackson, it wouldn't have mattered if the war was over. He still fought them, wouldn't he? As he should. If an invading army comes into our country, we should fight them, you know. And so Andrew Jackson fought them and whooped their tails worse than the British have ever been defeated in that one battle. But the war was already over. But that battle was important. Now here's why. It was on the basis of that battle that the United States later, just 10 years later, was able to lay claim to much of what is the middle section of our nation, including Mississippi. If we hadn't won that battle, we probably wouldn't have had much claim. But once a nation fights or an army fights and they win a battle, they have a claim. And so we gain great victory later on the basis of that battle. Had that battle not been fought, we probably would have lost much of what is the United States of America. Now, obviously, Jesus won it all on the cross, but there's still battles to be fought. But, folks, we do not have to live in fear of the devil. We need to fight him. We are aware of him and his tricks. We are aware of the real battle we're in. We are armed and armored, and we are more than conquerors through King Jesus. I just encourage you to remember it and act like it. I'm so sick of Christians acting like a bunch of wusses. We watch the news and, oh, poor us, the news is so bad. You know, yeah, it's bad, but we still won, you know. All right, let's look at our list here. Chris Ballard.